cooperation with the United States Army and the United States Air Force Recruiting Service, presents the new Mr. Ace and Jane program, a weekly half-hour comedy series starring radio's original comedy couple, the Aces. Once again, the strains of Manhattan Serenade introduce the story of Mr. Ace and his wife, Jane. Tonight, Chapter 11, entitled, The Doctor Tells Mr. Ace He Should Relax More, and Jane invites some people over for a quiet evening of bridge, which turns out to be exactly what the doctor did not order. Or, as Mr. Ace puts it,
Some people play auction bridge, some play contract bridge. My wife plays toll bridge. I'll tell you the harrowing details in just a moment.
Before we join the Aces, I'd like to tell you about a job that rates ace high with men all over America. It's a job that makes a good man an even better man. It's a job that offers the chance for advancement, security, good pay, intellectual challenge, and the highest type of comradeship. Sounds ideal, doesn't it? Well, thousands of young Americans will agree that an Army or an Air Force job is just that. You yourself, if you're a young man with big ideas for the future, will find that today's Army or Air Force offers more opportunities than ever before. Go to your nearest recruiting office, and chances are you'll discover that an Army or an Air Force job is just the job for you. Now, Mr. Ace, what was that about a doctor?
Did you ever run across those frightening little medical ads in magazines that say, Men, do you wake up mornings? Underneath that, they list a lot of symptoms. And if you read the symptoms long enough, you get all of them. The other morning, I woke up feeling terrible. Something I read, no doubt. Let me see, it was last Tuesday. I had that headachey feeling, that logy feeling. I had that old feeling. So I told Jane to call my boss, Mr. Norris, down at the advertising agency and tell him I wouldn't be there.
What's the matter, dear? You sick? Can I get you some Bifluoride?
No, Jane, it's not...
Here, put out your tongue. Let me see your tongue.
Oh, all right, there.
Uh-huh. Yes. That reminds me, I must get some dark brown gloves to match my new suit.
Okay,
dear, you can put your tongue back in the socket.
Thank you,
Shall I call Mr. Norris first or the doctor first?
Oh, no, Jane, no doctor.
Oh, now, dear, you're going to have a doctor. A doctor a day, they say.
A doctor a day. I don't need any doctors. I just want to lie here quietly and rest. I'll just doze off a while, and I'll get up about noon and maybe take a long stroll in the sunshine. I'll walk way uptown to about, 157th Street and sit around in the sun up there and relax. Maybe eat a couple of hot dogs and have some pop and two or three bags of peanuts.
157th Street?
Well, I'll only stay a few innings.
Oh, I get it. Football.
Football, yeah.
Dear, you're staying right here in bed till the doctor comes. Now, just lie back and relax. Peanuts. The idea.
Well, I knew it was something I read, no doubt, on the sports page. Game starts 2:30, it says. I dozed off for a while. An hour later, I woke up on the short end of a stethoscope. The doctor Jane ordered had arrived. He told me I smoked too much. Then he guessed my weight and blood pressure and won himself two of my cigars. Then he said, in a recently conducted independent laboratory test for a cigarette company, 4 out of 5 doctors had agreed. And he was the fifth. So he took away 2 more of my cigars. While the doctor was operating on my humidor, Jane was nervously pacing to and fro in the living room. And our next-door neighbor, Ken Roberts, was controlling her.
Oh, sit down, Jane. Take it easy.
Oh, Ken, he looks so pale lying in there with the palms of his feet hanging over the side of the bed. I'll give everything I've got if the doctor will only come out and say there's nothing wrong with him. Everything I've got.
Gosh, you think maybe there's something radically wrong?
Oh, no, he's not a communist. It's just that he never gets sick. Only once last year he got intestinal flu. Damn, they've been in there so long. Oh, I'll give everything I've got if only there's nothing wrong.
But Jane, the doctor doesn't seem to be too worried.
Oh, those doctors, they never worry. They take life so easy. Oh, my goodness, what am I saying? Ken, I'll give everything I've got if you'll only come out and say that there's not... Oh, here he comes. Well, doctor?
Well, Mrs. Ace, congratulations. Have a cigar.
What is it, doctor?
Nothing. He has a case of nerves, needs relaxation and overworking. I think he believes there's something wrong with his heart. He didn't say so, but I think he's afraid of it. But his heart is as sound as a dollar.
Sound as a dollar? Have you been to the ante lately with a dollar? Oh, that's bad.
Oh, no, not at all.
Well, you don't sound like you mean it, doctor. Are you sure? You don't sound sure.
Mrs. Ace, believe me, I'm trying to tell you with all the conviction I can get into my voice. There is nothing wrong with his heart. Is that enough conviction?
Oh, yes, thanks. That convicts me.
But of course, if he thinks there's something wrong with his heart, the thing for you to do, Mrs. Ace, is to keep him from thinking about his heart. Have friends over, keep him amused. Sit around and play a friendly game of bridge. I'm sure he'll be all right, Mrs. Ace.
Oh, thank you, doctor.
Yes, well, that'll be
$10. $10 for what?
That's my fee, $10, the examination.
But, doctor, isn't that a little high for not finding anything? Ken, doesn't it to you?
But, Jane, a minute ago you said you'd give everything you've got.
Oh, who asked you? Oh, no. No, doctor, if you'd have found a little something, like a little high blood pressure or something like that.
Okay, Doc, I'm ready.
Here, where do you think you're going?
Doctor's orders, Jane.
Oh, yes, Mrs. A. I've prescribed a little outdoor exercise.
Yeah.
Under a doctor's care, of course.
Yeah.
So we're both walking up towards 157th.
Hey, wait for me. Who's pitching today?
Come on.
By the end of the afternoon, I was feeling fine. I had 2 hot dogs and a bottle of pop. I'm quite a baseball fan. The doctor is an even bigger fan than I am. He has 3 bottles of pop and 5 hot dogs. 4 out of the 5 hot dogs agreed with the doctor. The fifth one laid him low. So I dropped him off at his house, put him to bed with a cold compress on his head, a hot water bottle on his stomach, took back my cigars, and left him with 2 words, no smoking. Jane, meantime, had made plans for a nice, quiet evening of cards, as the doctor ordered. So she invited Ken Roberts and some girlfriend of his for bridge.
Oh, may I present my friend, Miss Jo Carol Dennison? This is Mr. and Mrs. Ace.
How do you do?
How do you do? Pleased to make your acquaintance, Miss Dennison. Hello, Mrs. Ace. Ken has told me so much about you.
Yes, fine.
Well, come on, everybody. We're going to play bridge. The table is all set up.
Look, Jane, do we have to play bridge? I don't want to play.
Here, all work and no play makes Jack.
Not the way you play bridge.
Oh, come on. Bridge is a nice, relaxing game. Joe Carroll and I play all the time.
Of course, we only play for very small stakes.
Oh, we can't afford to play for stakes. We only play for money.
Yeah. Look, T-Bone, deal out the cards. I'm going to get a cigar. I'll be right back.
Hurry back, dear.
You know, Jane, he's looking much better than he did this afternoon.
Yes, I know. But remember what the doctor said. Don't mention anything about his heart. He's not supposed to think about his heart. That word is tattoo around here.
Oh, has Mr. Ace been ill? Maybe we shouldn't have come.
Oh, the contrary. The doctor said we ought to have more company and play cards. Do you like to play bridge, Miss Dennison?
Oh, I love the game. But I'm more or less of a novice.
A novice? You've written books about it?
Listen to her. Some novice. Don't let our modesty fool you, Jane.
All right.
Ken is prejudiced, Mrs. A.
Yes, he is sweet, isn't he? Start dealing the cards, Ken.
Okay, Jane. Oh, how much are we playing for?
We never play for more than a 10% of points. Is that all right with you, Mrs. A?
Oh, it's immature of me. I play just as good for nothing. All we want to do is just have a nice, quiet evening. Doesn't it feel, Miss Dennison?
Okay, I'm ready. Let's get this over with. Oh, you're dealing, I see, Ken. And I see you and Miss Dennison are going to be partners. Don't we cut for partners?
Dear, you and I are partners. Don't you want to be my partner?
No.
Now, no remarks about the way I play. If you're so good, why is it you always lose when you're my partner?
You're going to answer your own questions, Jane.
Okay, I'm ready to bid, folks. And after looking these over, I pass.
Oh, you pass. Not me, my friend. I'm going to bid a spade.
And I bid 2 diamonds.
Well, Jane.
Having a good time, dear? Just sit back and relax.
Will you please bid?
I bid? Oh, wait a minute. I haven't raised my card yet. What did everybody bid?
Oh, fine.
Well, I dealt in pass. Your husband bid a spade, and my partner bid 2 diamonds.
His partner. Isn't that sweet? Why don't you say sweet things like that, dear? Just relax, dear. Have a nice time. Are you relaxing?
Yes, I'm just about to.
That's good. Now, let me see. What happened?
Do you want a review of the bidding, James?
Yes, let's have a review. Shall we, dear? Shall we have a review, dear?
I'll split one with you.
Review of the bidding.
Yes.
Okay, somebody review. My review. Ken passed. Mr. Ace bid a spade. I bid 2 diamonds. And now it's up to you, Mrs. Ace. After me, I'll bid 1 club.
Oh, no.
Jane, you can't bid 1 club after 2 diamonds. You have to bid 3 clubs.
3 clubs? Oh, no. If I'm going to bid 3 of anything, I'd rather bid 3 spades. I'm certainly not going to bid 3 diamonds when I only have... Here, where are you going?
I thought I'd shave, and if I'm lucky, I may cut my throat.
Come back here, dear. Sit back and relax. You're supposed to be having a good time. Pick up your card.
Let's call this a miss deal and start over, huh?
It's okay with me.
Okay. Well, I'll make it anonymous. Okay.
Anonymous. Jay, let me see your cards before you throw them in.
Sure.
I just want to see what you... Oh, no. What are you doing, Jane? Look, you've got the ace, king, queen, 10, 9, 8 of hearts. Why didn't you mention hearts?
Doctor's orders, dear.
Is it so? And for her, the government allows me a deduction of only $600. But that bridge game was only a prologue. When I got to the office the next morning, my boss, Mr. Norris, was trying to snare a new advertising client. Mr. Norris is a man full of cliches. Radio translation, he talks corny. In fact, behind his back, we call him corny.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm me, I always say.
Mm-hmm. Even if you mention the weather.
Whether it's cold or whether it's hot, we must have weather, whether or not, I always say.
He always does. Today he has something else on his mind.
Mr. Ace, on that Hudson Match Company account.
Oh, yes, the Hudson Match Company. That would be quite a handsome advertising account if we could land it.
Handsome is as handsome does, I always say.
Well, that's your privilege, yeah.
Mr. Ace, I've been privately investigating Mr. Hudson, and the old goat has one weakness. He loves to play bridge, and he loves to win.
Bridge?
Yes. Now, I want you to invite him and his wife to your home for an evening of bridge and do your best to let him win.
Oh, do my best.
What's that?
I mean, that won't be so difficult, not with my wife in the game.
Good.
Yes.
Now, I've taken the liberty to arrange this bridge game for tomorrow evening. Call up Mrs. Ace and make sure that she keeps the evening open.
Oh.
And you'll tell Mrs. Ace that she's to try to lose to the Hudson's, of course.
Oh, I won't have to tell her that, Mr. Norris. If the Hudson Match Company's business depends on her losing at bridge, it's in the bag.
Don't count your chickens before they're hatched, I always say, Mr. Ace.
Yes, you do. Well, I'll see you later, Mr. Norris, and don't take any wooden nickels, I always say.
And the fool and his money are soon parted, I always say.
Stop me. Well, I called up Jane and told her about the bridge game for the next night. Everything was all set for the Hudsons to make a killing at bridge. Then in stepped our next-door neighbor, Ken Roberts. He's that radio announcer. And he and Jane are buddies, so it was only natural for Jane to tell him all about this forthcoming bridge game.
Ken, I don't think he should play bridge. If he gets so excited, you heard him last night. Every time I made a little mistake, he blew up higher than a hall.
Well, he gets upset when you play badly, Jane. It's too bad you never took any bridge lessons. Why don't you? There's some very good bridge instructors around town.
Hey, that gives me an idea. How would it be if I took a bridge lesson? And by tomorrow night, I can learn to play so he won't get mad.
Well, if you think you can learn that fast.
No, sooner said the better. Ken, will you show me where I can go to find a good bridge teacher? I'll go right now.
I have my car here, Jane.
You will, Ken? I'll get dressed. It'll take me a few minutes. Do you mind waiting?
No, go ahead. I want to run through this commercial I'm doing tonight anyway.
Go right ahead, Ken. Practice it on me.
Okay, Jane. Young man, how would you like to be an ambassador? Impossible, you say? Not at all. I'm not talking about our official diplomatic ambassadors, but about a group of outstanding young Americans who are proving every single day that they're our unofficial ambassadors. Yes, sir? Every time you hear about the really great job our army men are doing in Japan, you realize they're truly ambassadors of democracy. By their actions, by their appearance, by their actual performance on the job, They're spreading democracy throughout Japan. They're proving there's no system like the American system. And just talk to any man who's had occupation duty in Japan. They like their jobs. Army men are in full agreement that you can't find a better deal than an army deal in the Far East. Hard to get into, you ask? Just the opposite. Because right now, any qualified young man may enlist directly for occupation duty with any one of the 6 famous army divisions stationed in the Far East. Go to your nearest recruiting office and enlist directly for duty in Japan. You'll be on your way to a great career, an exciting future, and a real stake in America as an ambassador of peace.
That's Ken Roberts. He has to tell Jane to get herself a bridge instructor. Why doesn't he stick to his commercials? Or better still, enlist. After Jane can learn enough about bridge in 1 or 2 lessons to make any difference in our game for tomorrow night with the Hudson. That is, it wouldn't make any difference under ordinary circumstances. But due to circumstances beyond my control, the program she scheduled with the bridge instructor will now be heard.
Yes, madam. How may I help you?
Well, Mr. Kane, this is the case of J.A. versus my husband, Mr. A. In all the years we've been married and 7 months...
I am a bridge instructor, Mrs. A. Not...
Please, Mr. Kane, no names. My problem...
Madam, I am not interested in your domestic problems. I teach bridge.
Bridge? That's what I'm talking about. Because when my husband gets around a bridge table, he's a regular Jekyll and Hyde. So my problem is to learn how to play bridge so well that he won't let 57 little cars wreck our home.
Madam, this may come as a shock to you, but there are 52 cards in a deck.
There are? Oh, I never count them, but if you say so, I'll take your word for it.
You don't have to take my word for it. I'll count them for you.
Not now. I haven't time. We're having a bridge game tonight, and I want you to teach me to play perfect bridge. I don't care if it takes all afternoon.
Madam, you ask the impossible.
All right.
Mrs. Ace, would you mind picking up a hand of bridge? I want to get an idea of how you play. Here. Here's a hand all dealt out. Your partner is Miss Diamond, and it's now your lead. Which card would you lead?
Well, let me see. In a case like this, this didn't seem good a hand you dealt me.
Mrs. Ace, please. Your partner is north, and you are south. Lead a card.
North and south? That's cute. Because at home, we have a civil war every time we sit down to play.
Madam, lead a card. You are south.
Well, just a minute, you all.
Which card would you lead, Mrs. Ace?
Well, in a case like this, I always lead the first card on my right because it's the easiest to reach. I reach out, and there it is, 3 of clubs. Unless I'm eating it backwards, and then I just let any card drop out of my hand. I don't want to get sick of you, please. Oh, wow, what kind of sound is correct to serve at a bridge game, Mr. King?
Madam, I am not a caterer. I am a bridge instructor.
All right, don't work yourself up to a lavender. Besides, I know all about what cards lead. What I want to learn is how to bid. How would I bid this hand, Mr. King?
That would be very interesting to know. Your partner has bid diamonds, Mrs. Ace. What do you say?
Diamonds?
Yes.
Well, first I usually say, a partner, did you bid diamonds? That's the way you know I'm paying attention, you see. Good, Mr. King?
Go on, madam. Then what?
Then I look at my hand, and if I see a lot of aces and kings and queens, or spades, the spades is my favorite.
Spades
is your favorite? Yes. Well, then if I have all those, I bid what I've got the most of, you see?
That's when you bid what you've got the most of.
Oh, I forgot. Sometimes I empty an ashtray before I bid.
You see? You astound me.
Later.
Madam, do you understand anything about trick values? Tricks?
Tricks? Oh, like you pick out a card, you put it on top of the deck, and then I cut the card, and it turns out to be the 7 of diamonds? Oh, my husband does all those tricks. It's always the 7 of diamonds. You see, the whole deck is 7s of diamonds. It's a trick deck. I climbed 20,000 there with it once. Very monotonous.
Mrs. Ace, as badly as I need the money at this time, I must recommend that you continue playing solitaire with the Seven of Diamonds. There is no hope for you in bridge. Why, I'd have to stand behind you and play every card for you to win.
Oh, no, you couldn't do that. I want to surprise my husband. He'd wonder who you are.
Wonder who I... yes, strange man standing there. Well, I don't know any other way unless I telephoned you, and obviously that would never work.
Telephone me? Yes, bridge by phone. Now you're talking.
But...
Why won't even have to learn? While we're playing, you call me up. I'll answer the phone and tell you what's going on, and you tell me what to do.
I never heard of such a ridiculous...
Well, why not? We'll play in our day, and the phone's in the living room. They won't know who I'm talking to.
Whom you're talking to?
Mr. Kane, I'm paying you for bridge lessons, not spelling.
Please,
Mr. Kane, would you do this? I'll pay you for a regular lesson. All you have to do is call me up all evening while we're playing.
Oh, you pay me to... Well, it's hardly ethical, but the money would come in handy to pay off some bridge losses, I suppose. Yes, I'll do it, Mrs.
Dean. Oh, thanks, Mr. Kane. Oh, boy, wait till I win tomorrow night. This is going to be my crowning achievement.
I should have suspected something when the next night Jane said we'd play in the den. No, but I was too busy thinking up clever ways to start talking about the match business to Mr. Hudson after we had lost a lot of money. Clever things like, well, Mr. Hudson, we're no match for you. And speaking of matches, Mr. Hudson, and then I'd sell him, you see. Good, isn't it? You're jealous. I got my first blow as we sat down to play, and I started to sit across from Jane, and Mr. Hudson said,
No, that young man. No husband plays in his wife.
What?
Husbands and wives play too well together. Know each other's game. No, sorry. My wife will be your partner, and Mrs. Ace will be mine.
Oh, but Mr. Hudson, you don't want Mrs. Ace as your partner.
I certainly do.
Oh, no.
And another thing, Mother and I don't play for very high stakes, Mr. Ace.
Well, anything you say, Mr. Hudson.
We usually play for matches.
Matches?
Who wants a match?
No, Jane, they play for matches.
Play for matches?
Yes, that's what the man said. They play for
matches. Well, Mother, you dealt. Suppose you start the bidding.
I dealt, and I did one club.
I double club.
I redouble.
Well, Father, it's your bid.
Me? Has everybody finished bidding? Well, just a minute. Was that the phone?
Phone? No, there's no phone. It's your bed, Jane.
Well, I'll wait just a minute. Timeout is stalling.
For what?
I have to arrange my cards. I like to arrange them in alternating colors, like clubs and diamonds and hearts and flowers.
Hearts and flowers?
Hearts and flowers. Is that a new one?
No. You said hearts and flowers.
Oh, I didn't.
Jane, Mrs. Hudson did a club. Mr. Hudson doubled. I redoubled. Now it's your bid.
Oh, the telephone. Excuse me, please. That's the phone. I'll be right back. Don't go away.
Don't go away.
This game is certainly slow getting underway.
I should be right back, Mr. Hudson. I'm sorry. Is there anything I can get you? Would you like some refreshments?
No, nothing at all. When I play bridge, I like to play bridge.
Yeah.
I don't like interruptions.
No, Father, don't get upset. The evening is young.
Yes, it is. I can't understand who would be calling. Can I get you some refreshment? Oh, I asked you that, didn't I?
Okay, folks, I'm back. Here I am.
Here.
I pass. I don't have to bid because when my partner doubled, I would have had to bid to take my partner out of the double. But there was an intervening bid of a redouble, which takes my partner out of his double, and he can do what he likes. And I should never play for anything but matches.
Jane, what are you
talking
about? Nice bid, Mrs. Ace. Oh, no wonder you wanted her for your partner, young man.
Jane, what did you just say?
Bride, dear.
Well, let's get going. Now, we're really going to have some bridge. And I think I will take some of that refreshment you were offering before, Mr. Ace. Do you have a Coke?
A Coke? Oh, yeah, sure. And Mrs. Hudson, how about you?
I have one, too, thank you.
Oh, that's fine. I will, too. Jane, how about you?
I already passed. I don't have to be because my
We're talking about something to drink. Do you want a Coke or some ginger ale? Which do you want?
I don't know yet. I'll have to wait and find out.
Wait for what?
Oh, there he is. Excuse me, please. Now, what was the question? Coke or ginger ale?
What's going on? Well, the old man won everything but the kitchen stove. No, I take that back. He won every match I had in the house and the pilot light in the kitchen. In fact, at the end of the game, I owed him 400 matches. I offered to write a check. He settled for my Dunhill lighter. But I didn't care. I got the account. Oh, while Jane was getting ready for bed, the phone rang, and this time she didn't hear it. So I answered. Hello?
Oh, may I speak to Mrs. H?
Well, who's calling her?
Tell her it's Mr. Keene. She'll understand.
Which Mr. Keene?
The Mr. Keene. Who is this?
This is A. Mr. A. What can I do for thee?
Well, this is more or less between Mrs. H and myself. Confidential.
Just a minute. Mr. Keene, tell me, did you have anything to do with that phony bridge game she played tonight?
Phony?
Yes.
Oh. Oh, then she told you about my phoning her the instructions during the game.
Oh, so that's...
This is the first time I've ever instructed my telephone that I'm all a twitter to learn how she made out.
Well, Mr. Twitter... she made out fine, thank you, and I'll tell her you called.
Thank you so much, Mr. Reed. Good night.
Good night. Well, what do you know about her?
Were you talking to me, dear? Did I hear you say something?
Oh, no, Jane. I was just mumbling to myself.
Surprised you the way I played bridge tonight, huh?
Yes, it certainly did. I thought you played a keen game. Keen bidding, keen playing, just all around keen.
What do you mean by that remark?
Nothing. I like your game, Jane. I like the way you bid. It's a wonderful system. It's the bell system, isn't it?
Oh, just a minute.
Tell me, Jane, what do you bid after your partner is doubled and there's an intervening bid of Plaza 89797?
Dear, I bid you good night.
That's the best bid you've made all evening. Moment, I'll give you the title of Chapter 12 in the story of Mr. Ace and Jane. Before we leave Mr. Ace and Jane, I'd like to make a mighty sound suggestion to all the young men in our audience. Fellas, do some serious thinking this weekend about your future. See if an Army or an Air Force job doesn't fill the bill for you. Remember, when you join today's new Army or new Air Force, you're on your way to a great career. You'll be given every chance for advancement. You'll receive good pay, comfortable living quarters, clothes, medical care. You'll have no worries about future security. And you'll be on a team that's a winner every time. Today, the Army and Air Force teams are keeping America strong so that we'll continue to be winners at peace. Next week, Mr. Ace and Jane will bring you Chapter 12, entitled, Jane Dreams About a Horse and Talks Mr. Ace into Betting on It, and before she's through, everybody is out on the track watching Jane's dream horse run. Or, as Mr. Ace puts it,
did you ever see a dream walking?
Good night.
Me too.
Good night. Original music conducted by Morris Durkin. And the supporting cast, Eric Dressler as Mr. Norris, Joe Carroll Dennison as Miss Dennison, William Keene as Mr. Keene, Ed Jerome and Catherine Everett as Mr. and Mrs. Hudson, John Griggs as the Doctor, and this is Ken Roberts announcing that you may hear Miss Trace Jane next week at the same time over this same station.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.